Everyone's experience is unique to them. This podcast contains the personal story, experience, and opinions of the speaker, rather than that of Breast Cancer Now. Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. This is a series that shares the stories of people who have had breast cancer. It's also where you'll hear the voices of our nurses, researchers, and experts who help to provide support for today and hope for the future to anyone affected by breast cancer. Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. My name is Em and today I'll be speaking with Jane. For this special episode, we've come to Jane's house to enjoy an afternoon tea she's hosting in aid of Breast Cancer Now. Before that goes ahead, we've sat down to talk about Jane's secondary breast cancer diagnosis, how it's affected her, and why it's important to get involved with fundraising. Jane, thank you for joining me.
It's lovely that you're all here celebrating afternoon tea with us today.
So Jane, could you just start off by telling us, in as much detail as you're comfortable with, about your experience with breast cancer?
I was diagnosed back in 2007. I remember it really clearly. It was a Friday after a New Year and a friend of mine had had a scare before Christmas. So I checked myself and found a lump in my armpit, almost breast. Went to the doctors, usual thing, and they found out that it was breast cancer. And therefore, I had a lumpectomy and they found out it spread to my lymph nodes. So I had chemotherapy and radiotherapy. It was pretty brutal. I think losing your hair is just... There was no photos of me anywhere just because it labels you. But we got over that and that was all great. And then in 2012, just as I was coming up with my five-year-old clear, I started to feel very tired. I'm really not myself. And so they gave me a scan and discovered that I had secondaries in my liver. So I had major liver surgery, liver resection. It was pretty brutal surgery at the time. I think they've refined it an awful lot now. And I know how lucky I am under the most amazing team at Basingstoke, under a guy called Merv Rees, who is just a pioneer of that operation. So I'm aware that, you know, 10 years ago, what I had was quite new treatment, whereas I think it's standard now. But then I'm here now. 2012 was pretty brutal, but I'm looking at all the things I've done since. And I'm so very grateful that as much as they were tough times, you know, you can sit here and talk to you guys about it now and say to other women who might be going through the same thing that there is so much out there. It might be horrible when you're going through it, but actually now it's amazing.
Mm, yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, I guess it has happened quite a while ago now that you can kind of detach yourself from it in a bit and you may not have as strong as emotions connected to it. But I imagine at the time that was really difficult to get that news.
It was really brutal. My youngest was only 5 when I was first diagnosed. Well, all of them were very young. It was just horrible to be a parent. I think you deal with so many things, but primarily for me is the guilt of the pain you put on other people. It's bizarre how you telling other people you inflict so much pain on the people you love most. And that's the last thing you want to do as a parent, a mum or a daughter. So that's really hard. But I don't think the emotion, I can feel myself welling up talking to you now. I don't think the emotion of it ever does go away for me. And I suppose any form of grief is really good because you remember times in your life that are important for sad reasons as well. And I have so much to celebrate about it. So I think part of my emotion is the joy that I'm here and that I can celebrate. And I know how very lucky I am to be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, it's been 10 years since you received your diagnosis, your secondary diagnosis. And how has life changed for you in that time? I mean, you've had a very big change with MasterChef. But how else have you been impacted by your diagnosis, do you feel?
I think that's one of my things at the moment that so many people presume because you're 10 years all clear that life is just back to normal. But most people forget that, you know, the drugs that you take affect you every day and they can affect women. And I can only talk from a woman's point of view. I know with regards to me, it sort of plunges you into deepest, darkest menopause at a very young age and you're dealing with those symptoms. And I'm currently under the Royal Marsden for my drug treatment because we've had some wobbles with that. So it's an ongoing process, but it's not doom and gloom. You know, you are still here, you're still celebrating. And oh, I've had so much to celebrate. I won MasterChef, but you know, I turned 50 the year I won MasterChef. I'm approaching 60, which is a huge milestone. You wonder whether you're going to reach these things. Four fabulous kids. So life is really incredible. But you are constantly living with the fact that you have a cancer diagnosis. And I think that's one of the things I'm trying to talk about a bit more now, is be kind to people because you don't know what they're going through. You know, I get out of a car, nobody's going to think, oh, she's having a really bad day. But sometimes you have to go to bed for the afternoon. And that's not me. I'm not a lazy person. And it's just, life is like that. But I always want to counteract that with the amount of truly wonderful positives there are. I have a fantastic career. I have a great life, you know, and it's all worth it for that.
Absolutely. When you do perhaps have those moments when you say, you know, maybe quite tired, and, you know, you say, oh, I'm not a lazy person, it clearly is having not only just a physical impact on you there, but also, you know, kind of like an a mental and emotional impact on you in kind of how it's making you feel about that. So to what extent do you have to kind of rely on other people to support you through that?
For me, I'm so lucky. I've got the most amazing support system. You know, I've got a great husband, I've got fantastic children, my parents are still older now but have been there all the time, and the friends that you're going to meet this afternoon, there is a reason why they're here. Some of them just held my hands, they just loved me and looked after me when I wasn't well, and they still do, and they understand if occasionally I have to say I can't do that, it's not because I'm letting people down, it's because I can't. I think it took me, I'm 10 years in, a long time to understand that I could say I'm tired and that this is still having an effect on me. I think the thing is that you do that, get up, get going, don't let it beat you, get back on your feet. One more person said positive mental attitude, I think I was going to punch them, you know. But you do that to yourself, and you have to get back up and do it. But I do think it's really important to be kind to yourself as well and understand that you are going to have times when it is harder for you, and take that time to take care of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. You've mentioned very, very briefly there, sort of touched on things other people can do to support you, even if it's just sort of being there for you. Are there any other practical things that sometimes are just, you know, a real handy thing to have?
I think for me, it was just knowing somebody was there, that I remember just crying my eyes out once and turning up at my friend Jackie's house, who's going to be here this afternoon. And she just sat there with a cup of tea, you know, and that was it, and a biscuit, and just listened. And then a practical help, I'd have friends come around and just take your ironing without even asking. And somebody would drop around food or other things. So it was just that wonderful pillar of a support system. And I know how grateful and how lucky I am. Not everybody has that. Which is why it's so important that people like you are on the other end of the phone, Breast Cancer Now, because I needed to ring you, and I had support and a big family infrastructure. There are a lot of people out there who are doing this on their own or maybe don't have that support, and they need to be able to talk. They need to be able to communicate. And I know with me, if I speak about something, I feel better. Somehow if I articulate it, I feel better. And I know that's just my way. Others keep it to themselves, and there is no right or wrong way to deal with this. It's what's right for you and your privacy. But I just think it's invaluable what you offer, and I can't tell you how much it meant at times to have someone on the end of the phone.
Well, it's so lovely to hear that the helpline was, you know, was there for you when you needed it.
I think so. And I think more importantly, sometimes when you're at your lowest and you're at your most fearful, you can't say to family and friends, I'm scared this is going to happen, because their instinct is to say, you're going to be fine, you're going to be fine. Well, of course, that's what you're fighting for. But you do have moments when you need to talk through those moments where you're not. And some people aren't. And you need an honesty, and that's where I think the charity in particular comes in brilliant. I think Breast Cancer Now does brilliant work, because I've been with friends who haven't had the luck that I've had, and that you need someone who has the ability to talk to them honestly about their process.
Thank you. And it came up sort of a few times in what you've just said, whether it was from Breast Cancer Now, whether it was from friends and family, that a lot of the support is just kind of being there for
it
you,
is.
Just existing, being a listening ear, and just sticking around, I think.
I think so. And I think sticking around, that's such a huge point, because so many people didn't. They didn't know what to say, so therefore they didn't say anything. And that can hurt when it's close family and friends sometimes. it's not done deliberately, and you know it's not done deliberately. Everything in you knows that, but people don't know how to cope. And I found the best thing, and the way I deal with it now, if I have people ring me up and they're in a similar situation, is just to say, I don't know what to say to you, but I'm here.
Hmm.
I don't know the right words always, but I'm here. And that's all that you need, is that support, I think. And it's really vital, because the word cancer is still hugely scary, but it's not all doom and gloom. I think the huge positives of now, the early diagnosis and the amount of women with primary cancers who are surviving, and men who are surviving, it's a really positive story coming out of a horrific disease, really. But you can't help but when you first hear that diagnosis, of something in you just screams, and it's just the worst to be told you've got cancer. It's just a sickening thought.
Mm.
But there are so many people like me who are still here and still having the most amazing time. So it's positive.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you're completely right. People do have that kind of averse reaction just to the word cancer. They might feel like they have to say something, and they might say the complete wrong thing, not meaning that at all. And I think one of the hardest things is just finding ways that other people can navigate it if they're not too familiar with, if they've not had a close loved one with cancer before, they might not know how to talk about it. And I think one of the things that helps with that is something like an afternoon tea, where it just sort of normalizes that conversation a little bit. It gives people an excuse to come together. We're going to have an afternoon tea very shortly, which I'm really excited for. What does that mean to you, to have so many people coming together as a form of support, not just for you, but for other people with breast cancer, through something like an afternoon tea?
I think it's hugely important. I don't think I have the words to express how important I think it is. It's bigger than all of us. This is something that hits all of our lives, and we all need to do it. I think the older generation in particular aren't very good at talking about it, because maybe if somebody got a cancer diagnosis, that meant that you weren't going to be here, whereas now it doesn't. It's a positive story. And it's positive that I'm sat here talking to you after what happened to me. So I generally think to be able to sit there and talk with your family, friends, people that you know, and to, one, have a conversation about this and normalise talking about it and understand you're not the only person, other people are going through it, be able to contribute back and help and put something back. I mean, that's all that we all want to do a little bit. If we can just pull a little bit back and say thank you in some way, that's hugely important. And just the joy of being around family and friends. I think more than anything over the last few years, the one thing we've learned is that it's people. It's not how much you've got in your pocket. I know I'm not simplifying it, but it's people. People that count. People there to hold your hand and laugh with and joke with and have those wonderful times with. And that's why this afternoon you're going to meet some of my nearest and dearest. And I think we're going to have a lovely, lovely time. You know, they've been with me for a long time, most of them.
I am genuinely looking forward to it. we've seen you preparing some bits and bobs this morning, and it all looks delicious.
Thank you.
And so I guess the last thing I want to ask you is, as well as all this coming, so many people coming together to support you, I wish we could have something like an afternoon tea every day, but
I agree.
A lot of work going into it, as I can see going on here. So just in the day-to-day, what kind of things can you do to support yourself, and what kind of things might you suggest to anyone else who's perhaps recently been diagnosed or is indeed living with a diagnosis that they still have difficulty with sometimes? What kind of things would you suggest for self-care and support?
I think be kind to yourself. I think I look back, I was hard on myself. I was not very kind, and I didn't maybe give myself the time I needed always. But then I think more importantly, with regards to others, be kind to them as well. Just understand that what you're going through, and it can affect your moods, the treatments, as we know, be it the hormone treatments or the different follow-up treatments. A lot of women have to have hysterectomies and ovaries removed, and it's not just a single diagnosis, but it's a diagnosis that now has also a lot of hope. It really does. And I think that you have to bear in mind as well. Being told you've got cancer might be the worst moment in your life, but being told you're in remission might be the best. And a lot of us are now. And I feel so desperately sad for those that don't have that opportunity. But people like your charity Breast Cancer Now are making sure that more and more women and men have the opportunity I have to still be here. And maybe you might get another MasterChef winner. Who knows?
Brilliant. I hope you get invited to more afternoon teas.
definitely. An annual event.
No, I think I really love how you keep referring to hope. And that is obviously a huge part of what we do. And, you know, we want to give that hope to people and things like afternoon tea. A lot of the funds raised from that, you know, it doesn't just go towards care. It also goes towards research so that we can bring that hope to more people. And I think that hope in a way is its own form of support.
Totally. The whole doom and gloom thing, of course it's hard. But I remember my nanny once, I was moaning about something as a child, and she said to me, "Who told you your life was going to be easy?" And I remember at the time thinking, oh, and she was the kindest lady. But actually it's lived with me in that you are going to have trials and tribulations. You are going to have things that you face which are horrible and that you think you're never going to overcome. But for a lot of us, there's a real light at the end of the tunnel. And what you're doing as a charity is a huge beacon of hope for people. It offers massive help whilst you're trying to support yourself through diagnosis, support, and then at the end of the day, also investment into finding a cure for something that is really quite brutal. So I'm so grateful for you all. And I just feel very grateful that I can do a little bit to help the charity and put something back for all that you gave me.
Oh, that's lovely. I mean, first of all, thank you so much for hosting us. And again, really looking forward to the food. Don't know if that came through, but you've been a wonderful host so far. And it's been really lovely talking to you.
Oh, it's been an absolute joy. Can't wait. We've got more fun this afternoon. Yay!
Thank you.
To find out more about how you can get involved with an afternoon tea, just go to breastcancernow.org/afternoon tea.
If you've enjoyed listening to this episode of the Breast Cancer Now podcast, make sure to subscribe via your preferred podcast provider so that you never miss an episode. Also, if you're able to, we'd love it if you could rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and perhaps recommend us to someone you think would find us helpful. The more people we can reach, the more we can get Breast Cancer Now's vital resources to those who need them.